The gospel is the power of God for salvation. God foreknows, predestines, calls, justifies, glorifies, but he will not lose them. That's the promise.
No Christian should walk with a judgmental swagger because we did not work out our own salvation. It was given by a God of compassion and mercy.
Hey, I'd like to welcome everybody to our show tonight. Go ahead and get your Bibles out. Get ready to flip through the passages. But let me tell you a little bit about the show. This is Reformed Collective with biblical perspectives. This show is necessary because folks have gotten reckless.
Reaching with agendas.
And twisting scriptures. Ignoring the glory that we find in Christ's redemption.
Bad doctrine, we refute it.
We'll exegete the text with the proper hermeneutic. Systematic context, truth and love, that's how we do it. And now to Josh and Jason.
Yeah.
Welcome to the modern Reformation.
We need to deliver ourselves from the bondage of prayerless praying and learn to take up, as the Reformers and Puritans did, their mantle of prayer and dependency on the Holy Spirit, and storm the mercy seat and take the kingdom of heaven by violence, for the violent take it by force.
I'm Jason.
And this is Josh. And this is the Collective Cast, where we talk about Reformed writing, podcasting, culture, and just about anything we want.
Oh, you sound so excited this morning, Josh. Are you excited?
I am pretty excited. You know why?
Why?
Because we get to introduce ourselves, because this is the first Collective Cast ever.
Well, I mean, kind of. We recorded one, but we trashed that sucker.
About that.
That's okay.
Never made
it. So, Josh, how about you tell me a little bit about yourself, since I don't even know your last name. I don't know who you are. I've never heard of you before. I've never heard of the Reformed Collective. Like, who are you?
Yeah, man. Well, my name is Josh Summer. I was born and raised in Joplin, Missouri. And I was actually raised a Lutheran. Get that. So Jordan Cooper would be proud. And in fact, he is, because I've talked to him about that. But no, I wouldn't have considered myself a saved person until I was in the Marine Corps, so I was in the military, and towards the end of my tour there, I was effectually called, saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, and I am just a guy who is normal and wanting to reach people through the interwebs with sound doctrine and the gospel. And so that's where we are with the Reform Collective and with this podcast. And we're going to talk about all sorts of stuff, though, for Christians. And hopefully it would even be interesting for non-Christians, too. So
yeah, I don't see why any non-Christians would listen to this podcast, TBH.
Well, you know, you never know, man. People stumble across strange things on the internet.
Stranger things have happened. Cue Netflix original series.
Yes.
Theme music.
Yes.
Okay, so, well,
what
I'm
about
Jason.
You? What about you, Jason?
Josh? Okay, I'll tell you a little bit about myself. All right, so I was born a young, poor black boy. No, I wasn't. Gosh, that's from some show or movie or something.
Yeah, it's Steve Martin.
Is it?
I forgot the name of the movie.
I was born a poor, young black boy or something like that. I've seen it. I don't remember. I'm not black. I'm white. That's okay. All right, so I am the ripe old age of 21 years old, Josh. Can you believe that?
The baby.
21
the
years
baby.
Old. I'm a baby. Josh is old. He's like 26 or something like that.
Just 26, okay?
Yeah, just now. 26. Okay, all right. Yeah, well, I mean, what, was it 3 weeks ago?
Yeah, something like that.
Whenever I was up there.
Yep.
But anyways, I was not raised a Lutheran. I was raised in a pretty agnostic family. Became a Christian at 13 years old when the Lord called me to repentance and faith in him. Got baptized at an independent fundamentalist Baptist church in the area. Preached the gospel. They loved me, but it was not the place where I needed to be. I've got some funny stories from that place that I will not tell now. Long journey to Reform theology, but here I am, about to be a student at Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, coming up soon Transferring out of Southwestern.
Yeah, but it's only online, and, so it's not that exciting.
Yeah, it's only online, whatever. I mean, it's still exciting, though.
Yeah. Well, it'll be more exciting when you become an actual traditional student and move up here.
Yeah, but I got a life down here, too. So,
yeah.
You know. Yeah. Thing. Yeah, I live in Dallas, Texas, that area. So if you want my address, I'm not giving it to you. Well, Josh, you can have my address, but not the listeners, because that's kind of creepy.
Yeah.
Kind of creepy. Okay, so here's the funny thing. This is a podcast, right? Would you agree this is a podcast?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, yeah. This is definitely a podcast, but we're going to be talking about other podcasts. Not for a long time, just because it's the first episode, and kind of get your feet wet, not really go too long on these sorts of things, but... there's a few reform podcasts that we'd love to go through, kind of recommend to you. So I think the very first podcast I would ever, ever, ever suggest to somebody to listen to ever, ever, other than this one, ever, would be Doctrine and Devotion. All right, Doctrine and Devotion is a podcast by two pretty awesome Reformed Baptist dudes named Joe Thorne and Jimmy Fowler. They go by JoJo and Fofo. They are probably the funniest duo in podcasting history. And yes, I'm including Les and Tanner because they're not funny.
Whoa, shots fired.
Yeah, I said it. It's okay. Joe Thorne said it first.
Hey,
I'm just repeating
him. I used to laugh at Les and Tanner. Okay. When I first,
yeah, when they were Baptists and they were actually kind of decently funny,
yeah.
Then they became Presbyterians.
Yeah. That kind of threw a wrench in things.
I mean, that's every time you become a Presbyterian and you're not funny anymore.
Yeah. Well,
okay, so Doctrine and Devotion, they talk about lots of different stuff.
I keep hearing good things about D&D. And I still haven't, I'm going to be totally transparent. I haven't listened to it yet. And so
yeah, that's okay.
So Joe
that's okay.
Thorne,
I just hate you.
If you're listening to this, I apologize.
There's no way Joe Thorne's listening.
Maybe, man. Send it to him. Then he'll listen to it.
Oh, I don't know. Here's the thing. We're two funny guys, but we can't really show our humor too much on this podcast. So it's going to be a pretty dry podcast to start off. We're going to have to find out what is acceptable and what's not acceptable by trial and error.
Yeah.
Whereas Joe Thorne just doesn't care.
Yeah.
All right? He doesn't care. He just says what he thinks is funny. And it's funny, and it's a little bit over the line sometimes, but who cares? It's Joe Thorne. He's got a beard.
Yeah, like whenever he... Whenever you send him our podcast, he's just going to say your podcast is crap, and I don't want to listen to it.
Oh, yeah. Amen. Yeah. Amen. I mean, I'd do the same thing.
Yeah. So would I.
I'm not even going to listen to it. I'm just going to upload it, two separate audio files, you know, me and you, not even sync together. And just, like, if people care enough, they'll do it themselves.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
What about this happy rant, Jason? Happy rant.
Oh, I love happy rant. All right. Joe Thorne told me he does not like happy rant when he was out here. In Texas. But that's okay. He can be wrong.
Yeah.
Happy Rant is a podcast where Barnabas Piper, John Piper's son, Ted Kluck, and Ronnie Martin kind of just rant about things. And it's pretty hilarious because 90% of the time, it's ranting about other Reformed people. And about the other 10% of the time, there's some kind of John Piper joke going on by Barnabas himself. So it's a pretty hilarious podcast. Well, I guess you could say 20% of it in there somewhere. I mean, I know 120% doesn't add up. But let's just say there's 20% in there. They make fun of Ronnie for being a hipster. and, I mean, I could totally, totally see where they're coming from with that. Because I got a friend named James. Goes to UT and he goes to the Austin Stone down in Austin. And I make fun of that guy for being a hipster all the time. Like, any kind of hipster cliche...
Yeah.
Ronnie Martin and my friend James both follow it.
Well, you know, I always like to think about what Piper Sr.'s reaction is to Piper Jr. Like, what is his reaction to the hilarious jokes that Barnabas is always blurting out on the podcast?
Well, here's the thing. J. Pipes is a very busy man.
Yes.
To the point where if there's any kind of business dealing that Barnabas has to do with his dad, he has to do it through his secretary or assistant. I mean, obviously, if it's personal stuff, he'll just hit his dad up on his cell or something. But Jay Pipes is a pretty busy dude. I would actually be surprised if John Piper has ever listened to an episode of Happy Rant in his entire life.
Yeah.
To be completely honest with you. I mean, it's kind of like how you haven't listened to Doctrine and Devotion. Because you're so busy, you know, you're speaking at so many conferences.
You're just
you're so big time. You got that plenary session at TGC coming up this next year. And
a debate.
Yeah, so that's kind of like the same situation that John Piper's in. I mean, why would John Piper listen to his son on a podcast? He probably thinks that he's not funny at all.
Yeah.
I mean, John Piper seems like a... See, here's the thing. If I had to hang out with John Piper... or Tim Keller, I would probably want to hang out with Tim Keller.
Yeah.
If we're being honest. I feel like Keller would have a pretty good sense of humor, whereas John would kind of just like nervously laugh and try to move on to the next subject.
Maybe, yeah. Yeah, I could see that. I could see that. Yeah, I...
All right, so how about... Nope, well, nope. You go on. No.
Yeah. Where are we moving on to?
How about you talk a little bit about the good old classic Reform Pubcast?
The Pubcast. This is hilarious because this actually happened, and it's made fun of now in the pub on Facebook. So you know this is an ongoing joke, and it happens in the pub on Facebook every once in a while. Where, you know, somebody new will come in and they'll be in there for a couple weeks. And then finally on the main, they'll post on the collective on the Reform Pub, they'll post, you know, is there really a podcast? So, you know, the podcast is like the substance of the Reform Pub. I mean, that's kind of like the deal. That's why, that's kind of the thing. And so to ask that there's like, if there's a podcast is kind of, it's hilarious. But that was me, I don't know, maybe 2 years ago, when I first joined the pub, I was in there for a week or two and I was like, wait, there's really a podcast? And I announced that question to everyone. And it was just hilarious because they were like, duh, you know, it's a pinned post.
I bet they freaked out. They just freaked out on you.
They thought I was trolling.
Well, I mean, that's not exactly a far cry from any kind of reality.
Yeah.
But I was only in the pub for, I guess, a week before I found out there was a podcast. So I listened to the podcast and I loved it. I don't even think I was in there for a week. Like, I think I was, like, seriously in there, like, paying attention for, like, half a day, and I found out. I was like, oh, okay, I'll listen to this.
Half a day is a lot. It's, like, way different than a week.
Well, I had been in the group for an entire week, but I didn't really pay attention until, like, the seventh day.
Get your story straight, Jason.
Whatever. Although, I couldn't do it on the seventh day because that doesn't make sense. There's no way for you to join the pub and be active on a seventh day. Is there?
Yeah, back then there was, because there was a point in time where they didn't close on the Sabbath.
No, they closed on the Sabbath at that time when I came in. I came in on, like, episode 88.
Oh, really? I was in there, like, episode 60-something, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was, I think, one of the first episodes was with Joe Thorne, and that's when I just absolutely fell in love with that dude.
So...
No... That sounded weird, but whatever.
It's okay. Man, love is good. We were just talking actually at the at Carl Truman. Dr. Carl Truman was here in town yesterday and the day before. Yeah. And he was actually talking about the relationship between Jonathan and David. There needs to be more intimate, manly friendships like that one. But the pubcast, yeah. Not as funny, apparently, as Doctrine and Devotion.
Not even close.
However, Les and Tanner talk a great deal about culture.
The Sabbath.
Reformed culture. The Sabbath, because that's important.
No, but they talk about, like, every episode.
Well, there we go. And beer.
ever since they became Presbyterians, like 40 episodes of the Sabbath.
It's really just been the Sabbath over and over again. I haven't listened lately.
Well, no, I'm just giving them a hard time. No, it's just people will call in with questions about the Sabbath, so they'll answer it, and then they'll get branded as the people who just won't stop talking about the Sabbath.
Yeah.
Although, I mean, to the people who are calling them the Cage Stage Sabbatarians, no one called in with the with a Sabbath question on the last few episodes, and they still had something to say about it, so.
Yeah. Well, that's...
I know. I mean, everyone has their Cage Stage, you know. I had my Cage Stage Calvinism, and then I had my Cage Stage Libertarianism.
Yeah, and Les and Tanner going through their Cage Stage Presbyterianism.
I think they're past that. I think they're onto their Cage Stage Sabbatarianism. Anti-Christmasism.
No, they're not.
Yes, that's the most recent episode. You need to listen to it. It's basically it's not anti, like, Christmas. Like, Les says that he's gonna, celebrate it as a cultural only holiday, but he's not a fan of like it being celebrated in terms of like Advent or anything like that, which I see where he's coming from, but I think he's completely wrong. So
yeah, well, they can do whatever they want, but I'm celebrating Christmas because you can't take the Christ out of Christmas.
No, that, stop. You know, stop.
No.
All right, Kirk Cameron.
All right.
So I noticed. Speaking of, I noticed. I don't remember if it was on your wife's Instagram or Facebook or something like that.
Whoa.
But did you guys, like, dress up your dog for Christmas?
Dude, all right. First of all, yes. Because it's getting cold up here. And my beautiful wife, Christina, thought that the dog could use... whose name is Pierre. Pierre.
He hates me, by the way.
Who hates Jason with a fiery passion. Hates Jason.
That's so much.
Never seen anybody hated by my dog so much until Jason came to my house. But, so, you know, Christy thought it would be a good idea to get him a sweater because when we're going to go down to my family's house in Joplin from here in Kansas City on Wednesday, and he's probably going to end up spending some time in the laundry room, which is cold. It's not a bad room, so all of those PETA sympathizers who are listening to us, which they're probably not listening to us right now, but it's not a bad, nasty room or anything like that. It's just a normal room, but it does get a little chilly in there, so we bought him a sweater.
Aw, okay. That's so sweet.
All right, so just leave it at that. Because I don't go through...
Hey, I thought it was cute.
I don't go through the store, you know, and spend hours trying to, you know, fashionize my dog, if that makes sense.
Oh, I thought you were going to say that you don't go through my wife's Instagram, and I was like, well, that's because I don't have a wife, so... Wah, wah, wah. All right, so let's talk about, you know what, let's save the best for last. All right, we're going to talk about Sheologians and the Dividing Line, and then the best for last, I think, in terms of kingdom work. Okay, yes. So talk to me a little bit about Sheologians. What in the world is Sheologians?
A hilarious...
Sheologians.
A hilarious female-hosted podcast. It's actually something the Reformed community has needed and wanted.
Wait, hold on. You're telling me... that you're listening to women teach you.
No.
Oh, okay. All right, we're good then. Go on.
So this podcast is basically, well, lately it's kind of, you know, Summer, who is James White's daughter, has been using it as a, you know, somewhat of a platform to respond to people like Jory Micah.
Ah, I was hoping he wouldn't say her name.
She shall not be named.
Boo. Lord Voldemort.
But no, the podcast is hilarious, and they make funny commercials. So that's good. Did you see that last one that they made, Jason?
What, I think we watched that while you were here. The apron. Yeah, we watched it together. Yeah. I mean, it was a decent commercial.
It was funny.
You know.
I thought it was funny.
It was decent.
Maybe I have lower standards than you, but I thought it was funny.
I have high standards for comedy.
Yeah.
All right? That's why I don't try to do it too much.
Yeah, so what do you think?
Man, I love Sheologians. I mean, I would never listen to it because I'm a male. But let's pretend like I've listened to it.
Yeah.
And if I did listen to it hypothetically, I would say that I love it, and I think Joy and Summer are a very good pair.
Yes.
And I think they're pretty hilarious. And, well, okay, I do have one complaint about the show.
What?
All right, so at the beginning, there's a message from Pastor Jeff, Summer's pastor, and one of the hosts of one of the podcasts we're going to talk about. The issue is, he seems really choppy on the intro, almost. Like, Jeff did, like, a one take.
Yeah.
And he decided, oh, well, you know, we're just going to throw that on the beginning of Sheologians. Man, come on, Marcus. Where is your perfectionism when it comes to that Sheologians intro from Pastor Jeff?
Hey, man, maybe he thinks he's got it right. Maybe your ears are off.
No, you need to take a look. I mean, let's take a listen to it, all right? It is, I mean, I have my podcast app, podcast app called Podcast Addict. And what it does is it basically skips all the intros of all of my favorite podcasts and plays them at 2.0 speed. So I waste no time listening to intros over and over and over. Unless I'm listening on like my work computer or something while I'm doing work. But I've only listened to it a few times. But still, I'm pretty sure it's terrible.
Yeah.
But I love Jeff.
Yeah.
It's okay.
No, it's not Jeff's fault.
Just do another take. Just do another take. All right.
Hey, so I have a I have somewhat of a complaint about it as well. And I'm sorry, ladies. I'm sorry. But the name Sheologians kind of doesn't make sense if you're not talking exclusively about females and how to understand them.
I don't understand.
Sheologians.
Yeah, I know what's wrong in the name. I think it's
what does that mean?
Clever. Theologians that are girls?
Yeah. Yeah. The word.
What's wrong with that?
Well, theology literally means study of God, right? Something like
yeah, that. Yeah, it's women who are talking about the study of God.
This seems like it means
Merry Christmas.
This seems like it means studiers of females. Sheologians. Makes sense.
If you take it really stop.
Literal
it's just a pun. It's just wordplay.
Yeah. Well,
All right, you're fired.
I don't play those wordplay games. Everything has to be literal.
Yeah, I know you.
That's
don't.
Why I take Revelation at its word. And there's going to be dragons.
Oh yeah, there will be dragons with multiple heads and women riding on the back of them in the sea. Oh, it'll be a good time.
Yes.
It'll be a good.
Well,
time.
The church won't be here because we're going to get raptured before all that.
That's right, and then we're going to restore the temple, right?
Yes.
Oh, God.
And then we're going to have temple sacrifices and eternity.
My favorite.
Yeah.
My favorite.
Yeah.
That sounds
anybody cool. Who just tuned in right now, I'm totally kidding. I don't believe that.
No, stop. Don't put a disclaimer on your sarcasm, all right? Let them figure it out. Let them send us the emails and the voicemails. We don't have any voicemail thing set up yet, but let them send the emails and everything and totally hate on us.
Yeah.
And then we can say, hey, bro, it was sarcasm.
We were kidding.
All right. Because it's their fault if they don't get it. Right.
Yeah, if they don't listen to the whole thing.
I can't exactly tell them. I can't put like a sarcasm thing at the beginning right after the intro and just say, welcome to the Collective Cast where we're sarcastic, so don't take everything we say seriously.
We need to put a sarcasm thing on the front.
Trigger.
Yes.
Trigger.
Yes.
Sarcasm triggered. Safe space. We'll have a space. We'll have like a safe space for the liberals when it comes to like LGBT speech, and then we'll have a safe space for Republicans when we talk about the flag or like the national anthem or something.
Yes, the national anthem.
Oh my gosh! Don't even get me started on Republicans and their precious anthem. Okay, so next thing we need to talk about is the powerhouse of podcasts. Oh my goodness. Like, this podcast right here has probably changed the way I've done apologetics, the way I've interacted with Mormons and Muslims and atheists and everything in between, the dividing
yes.
line. All right, tell me a little bit about the dividing line. Like, who in the world is this James White?
Dr. James White.
Well, hold on, stop, pause. It's not James, comma, white guy. It's like James White,
yeah.
Space guy. He is white, though.
Oh,
but it is
man.
James White, space guy.
He is, like, as white as you could get. And which is hilarious because
are you really going to insult the man's like lack of melanin?
He lives in Arizona. You think he would have a tan or something?
You think he'd be like a little bit
red?
Or red,
yeah.
Gosh, dude glows. Well, I mean, he is bald, so he kind of has like that shine on his head. Maybe he's not as white as we think he is. It's just like the light shining off of his face into our eyeballs.
Yeah, yeah.
And we just see him kind of like in a... No, I'm not going to say it. That's heresy. Okay, go on.
Oh, man. So Dr. James White is an apologist. He's a Reformed Baptist, which is woot, woot. We can celebrate that.
No,
you just don't take any positions, do you? Earlier you booed Truman. Now you're booing White.
I love Truman, man. I don't know why I booed him. I just thought it would be fun.
Oh, man. No, Dr. White. I mean, good old James White. He's an apologist. He's a, like, pro-debater. Like, that's what he does. So he travels the world, pretty much, and debates anyone, you know, pretty much from a Jehovah's Witness to an atheist. He debated Dan Barker. He's debated Bart Ehrman, an atheist. Dan Barker's an atheist.
Okay, there we go.
He's debated...
I know who Dan Barker is, but you got to explain to the
listeners. Oh, yeah, Dan Barker is an atheist. He is... What is that... do you remember the name of the organization?
Is it Freedom From Religion Foundation?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, I don't know. I mean, I could be wrong on that, but I think that's
what it is. And debated Bart Ehrman, the... popular New Testament liberal scholar. So he's debated him on, I believe, what it was, that text criticism or the validity of the New Testament or something of that nature.
I don't know. That's one of the only debates by him I haven't actually watched.
It's a pretty good one. And he's debated, now he's, you know, he's been debating Muslims, which is really good. We need to have a response to Islam. Considering the situation we're in now, with it growing and more Muslims coming to the U.S., it's good to have a powerful witness in our defense for the gospel. And I think that Dr. White shows us how to do that pretty well in many of his debates and even in many episodes on The Dividing Line. The Dividing Line itself is basically a time wherein... Dr. White responds to certain things either floating around on the internet. He's even gotten into some pop culture kind of things with Dr. Drew and transgenderism and trying to advance that discussion from a Christian perspective. It's super helpful. Super helpful podcast. It's very, very edifying to anyone who wants to listen to it. You'll learn something new each one. For sure.
Ain't that the truth. And every once in a while, he mixes it up with a Radio Free Geneva, which is kind of like a Reformed theology specific one. And, I won't ruin that at all. I'll just wait for you to start listening to The Dividing Line and get to a Radio Free Geneva. And then you just kind of freak out at how awesome the intro is to that podcast. Few of my professors are on the spot of infamy, however you say that word.
And, that's another thing. You know, you brought up your professors, who many of them are Arminians.
No, they're traditionalists, bro.
Yeah. Well, Dr. White has also debated that, you know, the whole Calvinism versus Arminianism deal with Dr. Michael Brown, who is...
I love that guy.
Yes, my favorite Arminian. I have had a podcast with him myself. He's a very nice gentleman. He was willing to come on my podcast, which was not a very big deal. Like, really not a very big deal. And he still came on and had a good 30-minute discussion with me, so...
Are you saying you're a big deal now?
No. I'm just saying...
Mr. Big Deal?
Definitely, that podcast was definitely not... organized really or anything. So this is a lot more contrary to your perception. This podcast is actually a lot more organized than that one was. Yeah.
I remember I was on for an episode.
Yeah, you were.
Well, that was good times. Good times. I was on a phone in the middle of a Starbucks parking lot.
Yeah.
while we recorded that. Yeah,
see, that's what I mean. I mean, just, you know, sound wasn't very good.
A little bit more organized now.
So now we actually have a Google Doc we're working off of right now. We have an outline. Did you guys know that? We have an outline. How professional.
Listen, you don't show your work. Don't show your work.
Just like,
don't tell them that we have a Google Doc.
You know, it's not as if we're magicians not trying to give away our secrets.
That's what I was literally about to say that. I was literally about to say we're magicians, don't give away the trick. And then you said we're not magicians, so I guess I have a defense. I don't know if you're a great mind, but all right, whatever. Okay. All right, so let's talk about this last one. Man, I love Doctrine and Devotion in terms of how hilarious Fofo and JoJo are. But in terms of all-around fun podcast, really good to, like, sit down, have some non-alcoholic beer, because, you know, Jesus never drank alcohol.
Of course not.
Now, non-alcoholic beer, sit back with a few buddies and listen to this podcast. If there's one podcast that I would say, hey, this is the one that you need to go to and kind of just like lay on your couch, maybe pull out a tobacco-less cigar, drink a non-alcoholic beer, it would be Apologia Radio. Man,
yes.
I love those guys.
Yes.
All right, so what, Josh, why do you like the guys from Apologia?
Well, you kind of alluded to it earlier, is the kingdom focus. These are not guys who just sit in ivory towers,
they have a literal ivory tower.
They have a literal ivory tower at Apologia Studios that they sit in while they do podcasts.
They live in ivory towers. They're like Rapunzel.
Oh yes, yes. No, these guys definitely are not there. They, Jeff Durbin and his ministry to the abortion mills, sharing the gospel at those places, as well as their continual outreach to the Muslim population, is phenomenal and a great example of the Great Commission in action, because they come at it comprehensively. You know, they're not just out there to shout one-liners at people to kind of scare them into the kingdom of heaven, but they are out there actively trusting in the power of the gospel for God to save some of those people who they talk to, and then they are actively willing to disciple those people as well. Apologia Church, as far as I understand it, is very discipleship-oriented, it's just a great ministry all around. Very versatile, too. They have a lot of things going on at once.
Could you
mention some of those things, Jason?
Well, one of the things they're doing that I think is kind of risky, but a really good step forward for the Christian and specifically for the Reformed community is their show, The Studio. It's like a web series, obviously and unashamedly based off of The Office, but just based around... loosely based around events that have happened with Apologia Studios. And it's just called The Studio. It's basically a mockumentary about what goes on in the studio of Apologia Studios. And it kind of got off to a rough start, but man, it's really catching a groove. I'm really excited because I really hope we get to the point where Apologia or someone like them gets so well funded that they're able to put out sitcoms, like for real sitcoms. Because, I mean, just think about how much Netflix you and I watch. Like, I mean, it's probably unhealthy.
For sure.
Like, for real. Like, I mean, I watch so much of Friends and How I Met Your Mother and other shows. And, you know what, honestly, I mean, they're not exactly the most clean in terms of content. I mean, imagine if we could have something that's really funny and dramatic. Like a sitcom that was clean humor, and you know, something like what the folks at Apologia would come out with. But the great thing is, I mean, not only are they doing that non-serious thing, but they're doing so much. Right now, they're trying to raise funds for doing some live streaming outside of Planned Parenthood. Which is ridiculous to think that they, with their platform, that not only are they going to be speaking outside of the abortion mail every Saturday like they have been doing, but they'll be live streaming it for thousands to see, and, you know, thousands more to see recorded on Facebook. And it's just such a great way that technology is being used to further the kingdom. And those folks at Apologia are doing just so much work. And we haven't even hit on the actual podcast.
Yeah.
Like, what they do on the actual podcast. And honestly, like, I can't even explain what they do on there. They talk about so much. So, I mean, let's just leave it at that, because they, I mean, they just do
They
so
talk
much.
About so much on the show, on Apologia Radio. They talk about so much on the show, but they also bring on, like, really helpful, very, very qualified guests. And that's absolutely. On top of absolutely. Already, you know, that's on top of Durbin already being a qualified pastor and apologist who's very helpful to listen to just in and of himself. They bring on others, and they also are willing to bring on guests who aren't even believers and talk to them about the gospel, like they did with Austin Peterson, the libertarian candidate. And they shared...
Wonder who got him on Apologia.
Was it me? Was it... Was
joke
it,
is, that was me.
Was it you?
It was me. Jason. I got Austin Peterson on there. I mean, it really isn't that hard. He's super, super
very
approachable.
Accessible guy. Super nice guy, too.
Yeah.
But, I mean, man, Apologia, they shared the gospel with him. You know? That's huge.
Yeah, right in there. It was good.
Yeah. They actually just had Ron Paul on their podcast.
Oh my gosh. I don't even want to get started on that. Like, I can just, like, rant in a very happy way. Kind of like a happy rant. I could rant about how great Ron Paul is all day. So let's just move on. All right? Because I don't want to do that, because we're a certain amount of time in and we haven't even talked about
any writing. Writing, which is kind of our bread and butter, to be honest.
That's kind of what we do at the
Reform Collective. Yeah, I mean, this podcast thing is just now starting. I mean, we've been writing for like almost a year now. Is it almost a year, Jason? Because we launched the site. We launched the site in February.
Beginning of January.
January, okay.
No, it was January. I'm pretty sure it was January. I was thinking, I mean, with the way that we're recording these podcasts, that all these podcasts will basically come out on our, like, around our 1 year anniversary.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So by the time you guys are listening to this, probably it will be our anniversary. Yeah.
Yeah. Not me.
No. Well, in a sense, when we began working professionally
I guess that was when our professional relationship started. Yeah.
So, Although so by the time you guys are listening to this, or by the time you guys will listen to this, there it is. It'll be our 1 year as the Reform Collective. And by the grace of God, we've kept many of our writers have been very committed to the collective. And some have had to leave for very understandable reasons. It's not like writers leave and they're just,
we hate them.
Great writers, even the ones who have left, because of just personal reasons, school, busy schedules or whatever.
They're Voldemort to us.
Stop it. No, they're not.
I haven't even watched Harry Potter. So.
Yeah, that's crazy. Oh, yeah, Jason hasn't even watched Harry Potter.
Or read any of them, because I'm a Christian.
Yeah, whatever.
Or because, you know, it just doesn't seem interesting to me. Whatever.
One of those because two. You're a Christian.
I'm a Christian. 1611 KJV or bust.
Yep. Yeah, baby.
Not really.
Well,
not
I go before that. I go to the Geneva Bible.
Oh, of course. Well, I go before that. I just read straight out of the Vulgate, man. You know it. Straight out of that Latin Vulgate. Read that dead language.
Latin.
All right, so let's move on to some writing. All right, that's what we're going to do. All right, so I want to talk about... All right, so at the time of recording, Trump has been president-elect for...
2 weeks?
Gosh, two and a half weeks now. Yeah. How? Donald Trump, the dude who has... I mean... Back to the Future Part 2 literally makes fun of Donald Trump and how much of a tyrant he would be if he took everything over. And now we have that guy. We have Biff as our president now. What in the world is going on, Josh?
Yeah, well, You know, we need to be able to find the blessings of God in everything. And as Christians, I think we can do that.
Calvinists, right?
Yeah. God is sovereign. God establishes the rulers of every nation. It's very unfortunate in one sense, because you do have a person up there who is a very indecent individual, as far as his rhetoric, his actions, his ethical standards really aren't in line with a biblical one. And so it's a little bit difficult because on one hand, the Christian can't really support him as an individual. On the other hand, I think that the election of Donald Trump has bought the church some time. More time than we would have had as far as religious freedom goes, more time than we would have had under Hillary. So I think the way I put it is that we have some breathing room for a little bit longer, which is going to allow the church to do things. We have a Republican House, Senate, and now come January 20th or 21st, we're going to have a Republican presidency. And so really, even though our leadership is not a godly leadership whatsoever, the church has a slate of opportunity that we can act and capitalize upon right now. We really don't have an excuse not to at this point. So,
I mean, we'll find some
kind of excuse. I'm sure. But for the five people listening to this,
that's not a viable one.
If there are five people listening to this, don't let that be you. Don't find an excuse not to do anything. Watch Apologia Radio and learn how to share the gospel.
Ain't that the truth? Man, those theonomists know how to share the gospel.
For sure,
All right, so one of the articles that I had been reading, and it was really floating around the internet a lot, was an article from Anthony Bushnell, a guest contributor at Desiring God, about the election and, you know, the election of Donald Trump as president. Entitled "Let's Rise to Love Those Left in Fear." Mm-hmm. There are people absolutely freaking out right now that Donald Trump became president. Yeah. And they're freaking out in such a way that it's kind of concerning to me. And what's concerning to me is the fact that they're freaking out that Donald Trump is president so much that I don't think they'd be doing this if Hillary Clinton became president. And that concerns me because it almost seems as if Christians are saying that Donald Trump becoming president is worse than Hillary Clinton becoming president. And just a disclaimer, neither Josh or myself voted for this man. And neither one of us voted for Hillary Clinton.
Negative.
Okay. I'm not going to tell you who we voted for or if we decided to abstain or whatever. But we did not vote for either one of these candidates, so don't, first of all, don't blame us, but second, know that we're coming from a completely Christian worldview. We're not coming from a Republican or Democrat worldview. Neither Josh or myself are Republicans. Yeah. So but man, people are freaking out so much as if Hillary Clinton would have been the better alternative, and the way Barnabas Piper put it, I think it was Barnabas Piper, maybe it was Ted Cluck, one of those guys in Happy Rant, the way they put it was, thank God Hillary Clinton didn't get elected, but man, why did Donald Trump have to get elected? That's kind of how they put it. And I think that's a good posture that for kind us of to be in. Like, yeah, Donald Trump is the – that expresses how we should feel, you know. And honestly, we're going to discuss some of the reasons why people are scared. And I don't think they're viable reasons to be scared. Not because Donald Trump's not a horrible person, but I think that we're almost throwing God's sovereignty to the wayside when we say, oh, we're afraid of what this man can do. First of all, this man is president of the United States. He's going to be. He is not monarch. Right. All right. He is not dictator. And even though the presidential powers have expanded, this man can only do as much as Congress will let him. And Congress can only do as much as the Supreme Court will let them. And, well, these days it seems like the Supreme Court does whatever the crap they want. So I can't say anything about them.
Well, here's the thing is that within the Christian community, there has been a practical rejection of God's sovereignty when it comes to this election. Actually, I would say I would go further than that and say that there's been a practical rejection of many facets of different, many different facets of theology, many different themes of theology, God's sovereignty being one of them, God's righteousness being one of them. These are things that are practically rejected. However, the person still holds to them in principle. So they'll say, I believe those things. I affirm those things about God. I affirm those things about man, which is taught in the Bible. But I'm going to practically act as if I don't. Almost, that's what the fear is saying to me. That there's a, in practice, a denial of these things. And by the way, I want to make this clear that we do this as Christians every day. Every time we sin, we act like an atheist in practice. In principle, we're not. We're a child of God. But in practice, we literally act as if we're not a child of God. And that's just that same behavior more explicitly expressed in this fear. And I think a lot of the fear is also being capitalized upon for the purposes of violence, the purposes of expressing a sin nature, going out there and burning cars and trash in the middle of the road is not a viable response to someone you didn't want to get elected, who actually got elected. So I think that a lot of this is the result of a lot of anger built up from other causes from before this election, and that this election is an excuse to express that in very just untenable or unreasonable ways.
Yeah, I think that what is going on right now isn't so much focused in Trump becoming president, but the fact that this nation is deeply divided right now. And it's not just black versus white, and it's not just Republican versus Democrat, but it's just us versus them. Everyone has to find some kind of group that they identify with, and it makes and when they identify with that group, that means that they're against everybody else. And it, man, at the risk of sounding like a patriot, which I mean, Josh knows me. I'm not. But at the risk of sounding like a patriot, like when was the last time that we remember that we're Americans first when it comes to all of our identifiers? Like, yeah, outside of, you know, like the Christianity realm, you know, obviously we're Christians first and all that stuff. But in terms of who we are as a society, when have we moved from being Americans first to being black first, or being white first, or being Republican or Democrat? And man, all these things are just so, they're just like deepening the divide, and the media doesn't care. Like they're capitalizing on this, and they're using the divide in this nation to further, you know, gain capital by, you know, divide. It's like this vicious circle of, well, the nation's divide is deepening, the wound is getting bigger, so let's capitalize off of it. But in capitalizing off of it, the media is furthering that divide, and there's just this giant wedge in the middle of the American people.
Well, but
because everything's so feeling
based. And this is just a common political strategy, political and sociological strategy, Jason. I mean, you know, we can look at Bernie Sanders' campaign, and there has to be the movement. If there's going to be a movement started, the movement has to have an enemy. And that's just a principle in politics, it seems, where for Bernie Sanders, it was, you know, the rich. The rich are the bad guys, right? And for Hillary Clinton, it's something different. The conservatives, the the woman haters and the racists and people, you know, things like that. There has to be this common enemy capitalized upon, and which infuriates and inflames the situation, infuriates one side over against the other side, and it doesn't do anything to bring anybody together. If anything, the purpose of it is to start a movement which has a common enemy and therefore has a goal to work towards. I mean, that's just the strategy in all of these things, in every candidate's campaign, that we'd be able to identify some strategy which resembles that, kind of format where there's this common enemy that we have, which we need to fight.
Yeah, and I think that what makes this presidential election so dangerous is it's the first time that we've had a presidential election where media is so heavily focused on, like, the social media aspect. People don't get their news from CNN anymore. I mean, they do, but when they get it from CNN, it's from tweets from CNN, or it's live streams from CNN, and they do watch the news frequently as well. But while CNN is playing on their TV, they're online watching a live stream or reading through tweets, and some of it is great information, you know, and some of it is fantastic information, like, you know, the stuff that Austin Peterson puts out at the Libertarian Republic, and stuff like that. But there's some pretty nasty stuff being distributed via social media as well. And Stephen Colbert had a really, really good point when he said this, like, just after Donald Trump was in... Well, actually, this was when they didn't even know who the winner was yet, but he was live on Showtime, I think, or HBO or one of those channels. He basically said, what makes this presidential election so dangerous is the fact that people are invested 24/7 now. It used to be something that was just like a focus for like 3 months every 4 years, and people moved on with their lives. But this whole election thing, it started like 2 years ago, and people started getting really focused like a year and a half ago, and it's all been focused around us versus them, you know, like the Bernie supporters. It's like us, the Democratic Socialists, us, the revolution, against them, the establishment. And then Bernie ended up selling out and backing Hillary Clinton, which Hillary Clinton is the least Democratic Democrat that has ever existed. I mean, like, she's so pro-war. Her economic policies are that of a progressive, but not of a Democrat, of a progressive, like, middle Republican. So that's one of the reasons why... Hillary Clinton lost, because people were choosing between one non-Republican and one Republican, and the Republican was running as a Democrat. But Bernie Sanders ends up selling out and saying back Hillary Clinton. So all of these people, 90% of these Bernie supporters that were the revolution, say, well, now we've got to vote for Hillary Clinton because we've got to stop Trump, because Trump's for a revolution that we're not for. And then a few of them went over to Gary Johnson, because a lot of the Bernie Sanders supporters didn't care about the economic side. They care about the personal liberty side. Not a lot of them, but some of them. But, you know, Gary Johnson got, 3.4% or something like that this election? That's ridiculous. Yeah. Like, you know, people are like, oh, that's hardly any. I don't think you understand. Like, last time around, 2012... Gary Johnson got just over 1% of the popular vote, and that was the highest the third party had ever gotten.
Yeah.
We effectively tripled that, because I don't know how many Americans, I think it was something like 5 million Americans, I could be totally wrong on that, but several million Americans said, these two choices are so terrible that I'm going to choose somebody else. So not everybody's buying into this us versus them, it's one or the other thing. But I really think that, like Stephen Colbert said, this whole, you know, making the election the focal point of media and social media and people's lives for a year and a half has been super detrimental America as a nation, and also to how people are reacting to an orange-headed dude getting elected to president.
I mean, you know, it's crazy. What do you think about those who have voted for Trump because of Pence? Some people have voted for Trump because of Pence, so they really voted for Pence.
Well, here's my thought on that. Before I knew much about Mike Pence, I would have said, man, that's a terrible argument. And honestly, I'm not the biggest fan of Mike Pence's policies. He is very much a neoconservative. He's very much for, bombing overseas. And he's very much a war hawk. But that policy and a few other troubling ones aside, Mike Pence is a great man, and if I would have known a little bit more about him, I wouldn't have given people who are voting for Trump for the purpose of voting for Mike Pence so much crap. Because, yes, I need to make the distinction between people who voted for Donald Trump out of what they felt was necessity. Now, I think that's a wrong feeling of necessity, but I need to distinguish between them and the people who voted for him as a person. Any Christian who says that, any Christian that defends any of Donald Trump's actions when saying that they were voting for him, is in some serious need of repentance. Like, I mean, you cannot endorse this man's actions. But Mike Pence seems to be the kind of guy that you can actually endorse. I know liberals are just foaming at the mouth when it comes to Pence, like, oh, he believes in gay conversion therapy and all these other things. And I mean, they're wicked people. Yeah. They don't care. And honestly, gay conversion therapy has never worked. It's not exactly a Christian thing to do. Put people in a camp and say, okay, well, here you go. We'll suck the gay out of you. Like through the vacuum.
Yeah,
it definitely is, but and yes, it's an issue, but man, liberals are just foaming at the mouth because this guy actually has some convictions. And you know what? Honestly, if Donald Trump got impeached, which I don't see as that far off of a possibility, if Donald Trump got impeached and got thrown out of office, Mike Pence being our president would not be the worst thing in the world.
So,
and I dare to say that if he was running for president and Gary Johnson was a Libertarian candidate and Mike Pence was the Republican candidate, I might have voted for Mike Pence.
Yeah. Yep, that's I think I'm in the same boat with you, man. What about this article? We kind of alluded to the Desiring God article, but what do you think of that, like the writer's tone and purpose there?
I don't want to talk too much about it because there's some great things in it, but talking about like hurting with those who are hurting, like weeping with those who weep, and we should definitely care about why people are scared. Like we should sit down and talk with them and let them know that, you know, everything's going to be all right. Because you know what, man, as much as me and you think through things rationally, there's some people hurting right now because Donald Trump said some terrible things about their specific people.
For sure.
There are women who are hurting because he said some nasty, misogynistic, sexist, disgusting things. And honestly, I could understand as a woman, like being afraid, of an America where Donald Trump is the head of it. But I also think that there's some things wrong with this article. And right here is, under the section called Personally Vulnerable, he says this. He says, disabled, sick, and suffering people who have found themselves depending on the Affordable Care Act to avoid health coverage know that one of the new president's first acts will be to repeal that coverage. Many have found the new system to be a financial strain or a headache, but many Americans have also found it provided vital health care when they weren't able to obtain before or prevented them from losing their coverage. The idea of stripping away health care away wholesale, whether that's realistic or not, is terrifying to someone who is seriously ill or handicapped. My main issue with that right there is the author is not even touching on the fact the Affordable Care Act is unethical. The fact that forcing people to have health coverage and using people's tax dollars to pay for lower-income people to have health care is unethical. I mean, obviously, I, as a Christian, have the have not just the opportunity, but the obligation to give to those who are in need. And the church needs to be providing healthcare for those who can't afford it. The widow and the orphan in our community. But that is not the job of the government. It's not the job of the government also to tell me that I have to have health care. Now, I didn't have health care for a solid... I didn't have it for a while because I couldn't afford it because of the Affordable Care Act. I got lucky, and I got on my dad's. My dad has me on his, which premium is about to skyrocket at the beginning of the year, and my copay is going up, and... our deductible is going up, and it's to the fact where even I, as somebody that's just on his plan, not the primary payer, I'm not going to be able to afford to go to the doctor other than the checkups that are covered. I mean, if I go in and if I have bronchitis again, like I did this year, like I have right now, I'm going to be completely screwed over. So this whole argument that we're stripping away healthcare if we take away the Affordable Care Act is complete rubbish. What we're doing is we're saying people can choose not to have healthcare, and if they have it, it's actually affordable. The Affordable Care Act is probably the biggest lie.
It is one of the biggest lies. You know, Christy and I went to do our taxes last year, and we were told by the tax professional that if we would not have come in with healthcare, and if we were put down as not having health care, we would have been penalized over $1,000. Okay, that's two college kids. Well, I say college kids, we're older, but that's two students who work, you know, subpar jobs as far as income's concerned, being fined $1,000 or over $1,000 for not having health care. Now, that's not right, because as far as Christy and I are concerned, we're okay. You know, there's nothing that would we're not hurting too bad because of that, because we had health care and stuff. But how many people is that happening to? You know.
Well, if my father was not a pilot, if my father was not a pilot, I would not have health insurance. And there was a time where I was looking at having to pay a hefty fee for not having health insurance because I couldn't afford it on my own. And I got lucky that I was able to get on my dad's health insurance. But there was a time where I had to worry about, how am I going to pay for this fee? Like, I'm a single guy who goes to school full time and works full time, and I should be getting some of my taxes back at tax season. But if I don't have health insurance, I'm going to end up having to pay the IRS because of this hefty fine. And they say it's not a fine; it's a penalty. It's not a tax. Yeah. It's a penalty. That's a tax. Like, you're literally taxing me for not having health care. You're forcing me to have health care, and this isn't universal health coverage. Like, this is. Obamacare is literally the opposite of what Democrats should want. They should want a universal health care where everyone gives a certain amount, and it's kind of like a very like Canadian form of health care. But instead, they're trying to mix this capitalistic idea of private health care by literally using government penalties or taxes to penalize people for not having that private health care. And in terms of what's more immoral, I highly believe that big government propping up big business like this through the Affordable Care Act is more unethical than having everyone have government-mandated healthcare. Because not only are you making people have healthcare, but you're making them support certain businesses by using their healthcare on private exchanges.
Well, brother, I think we've hit our time for this first episode.
Man, we did not hit as much as I thought we would.
We stuck around on a lot of different topics, which is good. It's good. And it means we have enough material to talk about. So, but did you have any last remarks?
Well, any last remarks I have before I close this out just have to do with the fact that most of these episodes we'll be talking about some of the articles that go on the Reform Collective. Just to mention real quick, another article that you guys should look at is Thabiti Anyabwile's Four Problems Associated with White Evangelical Support of Donald Trump. He has some very good points in there. He also has some very not so good points in there. Don't take it wholesale. Read it about 50-50. Realize that Thabiti is coming from a different perspective than you are probably. And read it. We were going to discuss it. We ran out of time. Be the Church, Not Conservatives by David Appelt. You can find it on the Reform Collective. He basically says, hey, it's not your job as a Christian to be a conservative. It's your job as a Christian to be a Christian.
Excellent. And excellent.
Even if we have conservative leadership right now, you know, it's not exactly being a Christian.
Yep. So. Well, thanks guys for listening to the show. If you enjoyed anything we talked about or even just put up with it, if you just tolerated our show and sat through it painfully, head over to www.reformcollective.com. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/reformcollective. And find us on Twitter at RefCollect. That's our Twitter handle, at Ref, R-E-F, Collect, C-O-L-L-E-C-T. Tell your friends about the show if you enjoyed it. And if you hated it, tell your friends too. Thanks for listening, guys. We'll see you next time.